Welcome again. I hope you've had a great week. There were things to celebrate, as the siren goes by. There were things to celebrate this week. On Tuesday, there were recorded, you know, zero deaths in the UK for the first time since March. And although I understand all the caveats and the ups and downs and everything else, it's still something worth celebrating that actually we, even with what we're hearing of late in terms of the kind of variants and so on and so off, the people in hospital and the deaths continue to remain at a really low level, and we thank God for that, and we continue to kind of praise him for the vaccination and everything that we have in this country that would help us with that. Sadly, it's not that case around the world, and some sort of very sad news for some of us is that Victor Sr., who is from the Philippines, many of you will know Victor and Sally, and then Victor Jr. from the Philippines. Unfortunately, he has died, and it was COVID related, although it was associated with lots of other underlying problems. Also, just 4 days after that, the assistant pastor of the church, Pastor Nestor, has died as well. So that's a real tragedy for the church in the Philippines. This is Victor and Sally, Victor Senior and Sally. So really, we need to pray for Sally and the rest of the family. They've been in isolation, and Iloilo City is in severe lockdown. And that is Victor Jr. and Rose and their two kids, who are leaving the church that we've spent time building, and we've also gone out there and done repairs, and we've had a great connection with them. So I just want to pray for them now. And I mean, obviously there's the human tragedy, there's just the reality that these things cost money. And I know some people have already said, we're going to send money. We will also be sending a gift, and we'll make a way that you can contribute to that gift. We might put send out a link that you can give to online, or contact the office, and then we'll get it all together and kind of send it over to them, and as well as just, you know, our love and prayers for them. So let's just pray for the Philippines and the kind of wider world. Father, I want to thank you for Victor Sr. I want to thank you for everything that he did for that community in Iloilo, for his faith and his stand and walk of faith that brought about that church building in miraculous ways, and that actually now what stands there is a testament to his perseverance in his life. But Father, for the church family and for his immediate family, we want to pray. We want to pray for Victor Jr. And the other brothers, and particularly for Jerusalem, who's also not well at the moment as well. And for Sally, as she's dealing with all of this situation. So Father, for those we love and know in the Philippines, we pray for them, but for the wider world who are still getting to grips, and in some cases losing the fight against this pandemic, Lord, I just pray for hope and for courage, and that you would sustain them, in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus was very practical. If Jesus was had come to our time, our time right now, he would be telling stories about Facebook or electric cars, or he would be current. He wouldn't be talking about farmers and necessarily and sheep, and that was what was current then. And and so when we read some of these things that he's talking about, we have to see them in the context of that culture. They would have been perfectly understandable and would have made perfect sense to the culture that they were in. This is when Jesus was talking and, you know, the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, a great long passage from Matthew. This is what Jesus says in Matthew 5 and verse 13, you, speaking to us, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people put a lamp, light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Jesus has said, we're salt and we're light. And sometimes you hear that being kind of bandied around. But what does it mean? We touched on it a little bit at the test service, but I just thought I would kind of, have another look at it again. Victor and the guys in the Philippines, Victor Sr. has been salt and light in that community. He has been a force for good and a force to bring about good things in the community. One of the challenges whenever we sent money to Victor Sr. was trying to target it, because he would just give it away to people who were in need. He would bless the poor and needy. He would look after people instead of maybe looking after himself, which is a very hard thing to criticize. But he was salt and light in that community of people. He was known as someone who did good, and people could see that it was as a result of his Christian faith. If you've waved the paper around, or if you've got the paper this morning and you've opened it up, you'll see that Scotty's in there along with lots of others, as people thank those who've volunteered in this pandemic and been a blessing to the community. And that's what we don't want to lose as we look to kind of figure out how we can gather again. We don't want it to be at the expense of our contact with the community. In Luke's gospel, and this salt and light theme you find in three of the gospels, and in Luke's version in chapter 14 and verse 34, it says, salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil or the manure pile. And that gives you a hint of what this salt is being talked about. You are the salt of the earth. It's for you to nourish the earth. It's a salt compound that was put on the earth. It was fertilizer to encourage good growth. I know Tanya hasn't given you an update on the allotment, so I'm looking out now at the onions and the rhubarb and everything that's growing out in my neighbour's garden. Fertilizer encourages good things, and you being the salt in your community encourages good things. And equally, this salt was used as a disinfectant and to damp down everything that was going to bring evil to, or was not going to be good to for that community. And it's interesting that quote, you know, for evil to triumph, it says all it requires is for good men to do nothing. There's a kind of sense that we understand that one person in contact with the community can change that environment. It can sway people in the direction of right and not wrong. Sometimes I often wonder whether if people were less interested in filming some of the things they're filming on their phones and actually got involved to stop what was happening, it might have been a better effect. I mean, it is, you know, documenting some of these things has had a profound effect. But in the real moment, you wonder whether actually someone getting involved and saying, hey, stop, don't do this, could have also been a very positive thing. And that's what this is needed. We need to be in, salt needs to be in contact with the soil. It needs to be in contact with the manure. It needs to be, this isn't theoretical. This isn't giving people ideas. This is spending time in contact with our community, with our friends, with our neighbors, with our families, that will have this effect. And again, Yeah, we don't want to lose that as we start to regather. We don't want to be sweeping all the salt back into a container and saying, here it is in church, isn't it wonderful? Because that's not what Jesus said. He didn't say, you are salt in a container, remain in the container, otherwise you might get contaminated. It said, you know, remain salty, you're salty, and you and be effective to the world around you. In terms of the light, you know, it's interesting. In that passage in Matthew says, let your good deeds be seen before men. And you know, you can see that as kind of potentially maybe sort of human effort. Oh, I'm going to do good things and people will know that I'm a Christian. But I don't know about you, but doing good things on a consistent basis without God's help is impossible. It may sound really good, but when you get out there, loving people who are difficult to love becomes an impossibility. And this passage in 1 John is very interesting. It starts in verse 5. This is the message we've heard from him and declare to you. So it's come from Jesus. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. One of my dislikes of the yin and yang symbol with a spot of dark and light in each one is this kind of lie that within God there is some darkness. There's always some darkness. This passage says God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. And so it then goes on, if we claim to have fellowship with him, if we claim to be connected to God and be living in a connection with him, and yet we walk in the darkness, then we lie and we do not live out the truth. And it's interesting, someone said the other day that, you know, God cannot hear and does not hear the negatives that you talk about other people because he's light. So when you're talking and talking in a negative way or gossiping about someone or bad mouthing someone, actually, you know what? And that doesn't get through to God because he doesn't hear that about the people he loves and his children. He doesn't hear. He filters out all of that negativity because he is light and in him there is no darkness. And his love is pure towards every one of us on this planet. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, what do we have? We have fellowship with one another. It's interesting. And then it says, and the blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin. The first thing we have as a result of being in the light and living in a connection with the light, with the Father of lights, is that we have fellowship with one another. We start to love one another. And then the second portion is that our sins are dealt with. But it's not we become sin free and then we're able to have fellowship with others. It's the first instance is when we connect with God, we start to view people through his eyes. We start to see people the way he sees them. And that is the ultimate test of whether we're living in the light. If you go down to the next chapter, 1 John 2. Verse 10 says, whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. And then it goes on to say, but whoever hates his brother is walking around in the darkness, and he doesn't know where he's going, and he's stumbling. And, you know, that's a real challenge. Both of these things are a real challenge. But I kind of sense as we start to think about what the future holds and how, what does church look like and what do we as a community of believers look like, that it needs to be a balance of understanding that we're not to be placed under a bowl and we're not to be stored away in a container. We're to be the salt of the earth. We're to be the light for those in darkness, to bring them hope and encouragement. So I want to pray for us, and those are just some thoughts to start us thinking about how we view what we have done and what we do. Are we intentional about being good to our own family, being good to our extended family, being good to our community, being being good to those who are difficult to love, because that's the true test of our connection with the God and the Father of all light. So let me pray for you. Father, I thank you that in you there is no darkness at all. God is love, and is not just loving on occasions, but when we connect with you, we experience that love and it heals us. And as a result of that sense of love and that feeling of love, we suddenly start to be able to love others, and even those who are unlovable by so many others. We move away from judgment and condemnation, and we move towards grace and love and mercy. And thank you that as we do that, it does people good. It brings the good out in them. It fertilizes and encourages everything that they were supposed to be. It grows the kingdom of God in them, and it disinfects and it damps down everything that the enemy wants to do. And so, Father, this week I pray that we would be that. We'd be those who damp down gossip and bring about encouragement and love. We'd be those who speak hope and banish fear. We'd be those who, just by our mere presence, banish the darkness and bring in light. In Jesus' name. Amen.